السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, it is related by the companion Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, who said, جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله ذهب الرجال بحديثك فاجعل لنا من نفسك يوما نأتيك فيه تعلمنا مما علمك الله فقال اجتمعنا في يوم كذا وكذا في مكان كذا وكذا. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu narrates that a woman came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, only the men benefit from your discourse. So please set a day aside for us where we can come to you and you can teach us from what Allah has taught you. And to this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, gather on an upcoming day at this or that specific place. And so it became a sunnah, a prophetic habit and practice to gather weekly for special sessions just to address the believing women from his ummah. Dear brothers and sisters, very often, the lectures, the khutbas, the talks, the reminders, all of these things tend to be directed towards the Muslim men. But we forget that it is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that he would allocate a specific day of the week to teach the women. The women of the Sahaba, the Sahabiyat, would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the Hajj to ask questions. They would come to him in the street to ask questions. And they would even at times come to his house in the presence of his wives in order to ask questions so that they could grow and know their deen. After the Eid Salat, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deliver the Eid Khutbah, he would take Bilal radiyallahu anhu with him and they would go to the women's section to address the women. He would go and address them specifically on the day of Eid. And when we look into the Holy Quran, we see that Allah Ta'ala has revealed an entire chapter by the name of An-Nisa. And he revealed another chapter, Surah Maryam. And he revealed another chapter titled Al-Mujadila, the woman who pleads. And so it is enlivening this sunnah today, insha'Allah ta'ala, that this khutbah will try to address Al-Mu'minat, the believing women. And so most of my discourse, if not all of it, is directed towards the sisters, the believing women from the ummah of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear believing sisters, dear believing mothers and daughters and wives, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has told us An-Nisa shaqa'iqur rijal, which means that women are the half-siblings of men. And this means that beyond a few exceptions that are specific to men, everything that Allah and His Messenger say is directed to you and not just the men. And I want to preface my discourse today with a story. And this is the story of Musa and Fir'aun. In the Quran, in Surah Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins that chapter by telling again the story of Musa and Fir'aun. And there's some interesting points of reflection that are pertinent to both men and women. But we're focusing specifically on the women. Allah Ta'ala begins this chapter by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Taseen Mim, Tilka Ayatul Kitabil Mubin, Natlu Alayka Min Naba'i Musa wa Fir'auna Bil Haqqi Li Qawmin Yu'minun. Inna Fir'auna Ala Fil Ard, wa Ja'ala Ahlaha Shia'an Yastad'ifu Ta'ifatan Minhum, Yudhabbihu Abna'ahum, wa Yastahyi Nisa'ahum, Innahu kana minal mufsidin. Allah Ta'ala says, Taseen Mim. These are the signs from the clear book. I recite to you some of the tidings of Musa and Fir'aun with truth to a people who believe. Indeed, Fir'aun exulted upon the earth and made its people into schisms, castes. He oppressed a group among them by sacrificing their sons and letting their women live. Truly, he was among the corruptors. Allah Ta'ala tells us in this chapter that Fir'aun, ala fil ard, he exulted in the earth by claiming, ana rabbukumul a'la, I am your Lord Most High. And then Allah says that he made the people into caste, meaning he created factions among his subjects, and he assigned each of these factions a specific social class or a specific labor or activity to serve his empire. And according to some of the scholars of tafsir, this means that Fir'aun set up disputing parties and would provoke enmity between these groups so that they would all be collectively weakened. He would pit one group against another, so they were all weakened and under his control. And that is the reality, not just of the tyranny of Fir'aun, but the tyranny of all oppressive rulers, no matter where they are in the world or what time they're in. These divisions that they create in among their subjects to weaken them is to strengthen their own power. And these divisions start from the family, where the man and the woman are divided among themselves, where parents are divided against their children, and their children are divided against their parents. And these divisions are sustained through systems. They are sustained through media, through entertainment, through popular culture, through social programming that is supposed to shape the minds and attitudes and behaviors of those under their tyrannical authority. Allah Ta'ala then says, يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِ نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He says that he weakens one group against the other, and يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, he slaughters or he kills their young men and keeps their women alive. You see, dear brothers and sisters, there is a subtlety here. This story occurred in the past. But why does Allah Ta'ala mention this story that happened in the past, but he uses the present tense verb? This goes back to a principle in Arabic, that if you're telling a story or you're saying something about the past, but you're using a present tense verb, that indicates that that thing continues today. يُفِيدُ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. So that means that this is the pattern of all of the tyrants, that their pattern of tyranny is ongoing and persistent by killing the men, the young boys, killing the young boys and letting the girls live. So all of the fara'ina, all of the pharaohs of history, have this tried and true means of control. Kill the boys. Never allow them to develop and become men in the true sense of the word. Strip them of agency through laws, through media programming, through corrupting the culture, so boys never become men in the true sense of the word, where they have autonomy and control over the affairs of their own communities and families. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They will kill the boys. They will kill the boys by infantilizing young men, so they become emasculated. They become too emasculated, too demoralized, too weak to protect themselves and their families and lead. That is the broader implication of يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. That is for the boys. That's how tyrants deal with young men. They try to stop and thwart their growth into proper men who would be a threat to their tyranny. But what about the girls? What about the females? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Fir'aun, يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. He would keep the girls alive, letting the girls live. This is not just about letting them survive, because the word haya has other meanings as well. When you say hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come to what brings you success and well-being in salat. This is when the muadzin calls you to the real life. Come quickly and hasten to the prayer. Hasten to what gives success and well-being. So when we say letting them live, it implies more than just the literal survival of the women. It also implies inviting the women, the young girls, to participate and enjoy and partake of the fruits of the tyranny that is imposed, giving them distinct positions in society so that the family order is subverted and therefore more easily controlled. If the boys never become men and the women are brought into that Fir'auni system and empowered, but only through that system, it inverts the natural order. And that is how they maintain their control and corruption. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Truly, he was one of the corruptors. That's why he would do what he did with the boys by devising this system to divide and conquer and invert the natural order of the family. Dear brothers and sisters, and more specifically, dear sisters, dear mothers, and dear daughters, you, whether you recognize it or not, are the target of false promises. Now, everyone is receiving false promises, but you are specifically targeted for certain false promises. Everywhere you go and everywhere you look, you will find people. You will find it in the media. You will find it in the culture. Everyone swearing to you that true happiness, true fulfillment is just here. It's just in the dunya. In looking a certain way, behaving a certain way, consuming certain products. They promise you that true happiness is found in breaking the shackles of the patriarchy, as they say, being yourself. But what is so interesting is when they call you to be yourself, it just so happens that being yourself is identical to that model Muslim woman consumer that they push through social engineering and media. What a coincidence. Dear sister, dear mother, dear daughter, do you wish to have fun in this life at the expense of the hereafter? Or shall you prefer the hereafter when you meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam tells us that on the day of judgment, he shall take the happiest disbeliever who was the happiest in this world, who had the most luxurious life, who had all the trappings of material. And he will take that person, and that individual will be dipped just for a single moment in the flames of hell and taken out. And then Allah will ask that person, have you ever experienced joy? And this person will say, I have never experienced joy. Not once in my entire existence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the believer who was the most tested among human beings, who suffered more than any other human being in the world. And that person will be dipped just for a moment in the gardens of paradise and then taken out. And Allah will ask that person, have you ever experienced any sadness, any grief, any pain? And that person will say, no, by Allah, I have never experienced any pain, any difficulty, any grief whatsoever. Now, dear sister, do not think that happiness is exclusive to the hereafter and that you have to wait for that day. No, the doors to happiness are open in this life as well. And that is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, for He says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. He says, whoever works righteousness, whether they are male or female, while they are a true believer, then to that person we shall give them a good life. حياة طيبة, a good life. And we shall reward them in proportion to the best of what they used to do. So you are rewarded in the hereafter, not just on the smallest things you used to do, but you're rewarded in accordance with the best of what you used to do. So the doors of happiness are available here. They're open here. It's not just for the hereafter. But, dear sister, dear mother, dear daughter, you must also realize that you, like anyone else, may enter the hellfire. That is a reality that is possible for any one of us. May Allah protect us. Because none of us are better than Sayyida Nisa al-Alamin, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And yet he said to her, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, O Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, ask me whatever you wish from my wealth, for I shall avail you nothing to Allah. Meaning the standard of Allah's guidance is over everyone's head, including the best of all women to walk the face of this earth. Now, history records so many examples of believing women who completed their taqwa of Allah. While women are aspiring to lifestyles of degenerate and immoral influencers, they were aspiring to the model of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. And if you go back further in history, even before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have other examples of similar believing women. One of the most famous of these believing women was even in this story of Musa and Fir'aun. And that is the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, her iman in Allah Ta'ala thrived under the shadow of someone who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I'm your Lord the Most High. And when news reached Fir'aun that his wife was a believer, he was infuriated and he beat her and commanded his guards to take her outside in the hot sun and beat her. In the scalding noon heat, they were beating her and beating her. They tied her hands and feet together. And in all of that, who did she turn to? She turned to her Creator, Rabbul Alameen, as Allah records for all of eternity in the Quran, إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِبْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. O my Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise and save me from Fir'aun and his deeds and save me from these oppressive people. It was narrated that in that moment, as she made this dua, hands and feet tied, beaten black and blue, out in the hot scalding sun, as she made this dua, the skies opened up and she was able to see her place in Jannah. And she smiled. And when she smiled, the guards were absolutely astonished. After all of these beatings, she's smiling. And so Fir'aun is frustrated and he tells the guards to bring a large boulder and to crush her with this boulder to finally put an end to her life. And as they were hoisting the boulder, Allah did not allow them to kill her with the boulder. Allah took her soul before the boulder was dropped upon her. And she became an example, not just for the believing women, but also for the believing women. And in the history of Islam, we have many such examples like this as well. Who was the first Muslim in history to be a shaheed, a martyr? We should actually say shahida to be grammatically correct, because it was one of the believing women. It was Sumayya radiallahu anha wa ardaha. She was the first person slain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abu Jahl heard of her and her husband Yasir and their son Ammar becoming believers, he was infuriated and he whipped them and beat them and tortured them in a time of great weakness for the ummah, when the Muslims did not have the ability to put a stop to that, to the point that they would be beaten in the streets. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would walk by, he would see them unable to do anything at that time. What would he say to them? Feeling deep sadness in his heart, he would say to them, "Sabran ala Yasir fa inna maw'idakumul jannah." Be patient, O family of Yasir, for your promise is Jannah. And one day, as Abu Jahl was beating Sumayya, she refused to recant her deen. And this enraged Abu Jahl. And he took a spear as she was laying on the burning sand and looking up to the sky, very much like Asiya. And he speared her through her midsection, and she was the first martyr within the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Dear sister, dear mu'mina, you should ask yourself, how does this promise of Allah compare to the promise of those who want you weak and immoral? Those forces that promise you freedom and fun and enjoyment, what are they going to give you in return from turning away from what Allah wants from you? What are they going to give you in return for disobeying the commands of Allah, neglecting the rights of Allah? Are they going to give you happiness that endures? Are they going to give you love and protection from punishment in the grave? Are they going to admit you into Jannah? Wallahi, they can give you none of that. Dear sisters, you are between two promises: the false promise and the true promise. The promise of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the promise of those who want to entice you with the glitter of this world, so that you are weakened, and so that the ummah is therefore weakened. The question then becomes, which of the two promises are you going to believe? May Allah allow all of us to take the true promise and to shun the false promise. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear sisters, dear believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all of us men and women in the Quran, addressing us with the title of Iman, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. Everything Allah and His Messenger call us to is what gives us life. Those who call you to neglect, who invite you to neglect the call of Allah and His Messenger, are not calling you to the real life. They are calling you to death. They are calling you to the death of the heart, the death of the soul, the destruction of your moral character, the destruction of your adab, your connection to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, and ultimately your success in this life and in the next. Dear sisters, dear mu'minat, dear sisters who neglect the command of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the hijab, dear sisters, dear believing women, does it not occur to you? Does it not occur to you in your heart that I am about to walk into the masjid, Baytullah, the house of Allah, the sacred space that Allah has established for salat and for worship? So maybe I should not come showing my awra, those parts of myself that need to be covered. Does it not occur to your heart that of all places, this is the one place where at the very least you come in the way that Allah commands you? This command applies to men as well, because men have violations of awra as well. But we're addressing the sisters today. Does it not occur to you that you should come as Allah commands you to come? Would you make tawaf with your awra exposed? Would you come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Medina with your awra exposed? I don't think you would. Know, dear sisters, that the standard is the same no matter where you are in the world. The masajid are from the sha'air of Allah, the sacred symbols of Allah. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that wearing the hijab is some simple and easy thing to do. I'm not going to pretend that. But regardless of your internal struggle, regardless of your struggle to wear the hijab as mandated by Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, I ask you to question yourself, how can I so flagrantly neglect it in His house? At the very least, you should recognize the sanctity of Allah's house. At the very least, you recognize the sacredness of this space. And you come dressed appropriately as mandated by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ I am just giving sincere counsel. And yes, let us be honest with ourselves. We are living in such a rotten culture where maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is, how dare you judge me? But I am standing here to say to you that I am not judging the state of anyone's soul. That is for Allah Ta'ala alone. But Allah has made us from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Allah says that He has made this ummah as shuhada'a ala nas, as witnesses over mankind. So nothing is personal. And I judge no one's essence. But Allah Ta'ala demands that we judge according to the objective standard set by Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The question is, does Allah Ta'ala force women to wear the hijab? Does He force them? He has made it an obligation. And that is ma'lum min ad-deen bit-darura. That is known by necessity to be from the religion. That He has made it an obligation. And an obligation, wujub, is defined as that which, if done, entails divine reward, and if neglected, makes one liable to divine punishment. Liable. In sha'a azaba wa in sha'a ghafara lah. It liable. That is a kind of force. We all willingly abide by traffic laws. We stop at the stop signs. We stop at the traffic lights. We obey the traffic laws. But does that mean that the secular state is not forcing traffic laws onto us? No, they are forcing those laws onto us. We obey those traffic laws willingly, But they are imposed by force. But this sentiment of understanding that it is the command of Allah and Allah demands it of the believing women cannot be properly understood, dear sisters, if in your mind the hijab is not a symbol of Allah and Islam, and rather it is just a symbol of personal choice or self-empowerment. If the hijab is just a symbol of personal choice, if it is just a symbol of quote-unquote personal empowerment, then it's just about personal autonomy. If it's just about personal autonomy, then wearing it is no more meaningful or less meaningful than someone wearing a swimsuit, because both of them are expressions of self-autonomy. Both of them are expressions of freedom of choice. Both are symbols of self-empowerment. What makes one better than the other? What makes one better than the other is that one is given as a divine instruction for your benefit. Now, some of the commands of Allah are gender specific. Hijab is required for women. Attending Jumu'ah is required for men. But taqwa of Allah, fear of Allah, mindfulness of Allah is not gender specific. It applies to both men and women. And both genders need taqwa of Allah in order to bow their heads and say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in Surah Al-Ahzab. And he says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin dhalika adna an yu'rafna fala yu'zain wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves part of their outer garments. That is most suitable that they will be known and not be abused or offended or harmed. And Allah is ever forgiving, ever merciful. This is the reason why Muslim women observe the command of Allah with called hijab, to obey the command of Allah. As far as possible wisdoms are concerned, we can derive two possible wisdoms from this ayah. The first wisdom we can derive from this ayah is that the women who cover themselves cover so that they will be known as Muslim women, recognized as believing women, and accorded the respect that is owed to the members of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second wisdom that can be derived from this ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab is that the women observe the hijab so that they will not experience adha. فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. Adha here means injury, harm, offensive conduct, people being too forward with them because they don't recognize their dignity and position as believing women. Now, of course, we recognize the age we're in. And some confused people, they balk at the idea that modest dress has any utility in protecting women from harassment. They'll say, well, if I wear hijab, if I dress modestly, I'm actually exposing myself to more harm and more harassment. But this ayah makes very clear the wisdom of this modest dress. The argument that wearing the hijab will sometimes get someone harassed and therefore it doesn't really deter harassment is a false argument. The idea that because some women who wore hijab here or there have received harassment, it therefore does not deter harassment at all is a fallacious argument. That's the same thing as saying that since burglars are sometimes able to break into homes that are locked and secured, this proves that there is no value whatsoever in having a lock on your door or having a security system. Would you buy that for yourself? Would you buy into that logic? Your neighbor got broken into and he had a security system That means that your security system is useless, so you should go ahead and make it easier for yourself and take off the locks, remove the security system, save yourself the monthly fee. No one buys that because that is false reasoning. The hijab is a protection and it's a means of dignity. Dear sisters, the one who knows their Lord, the one who knows their purpose, recognizes the divine wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. The only reasonable way forward is سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. Submitting to the divine will with the knowledge that this is the path of life. There are two promises. Again, there's the true promise and the false promise. The promise to life, to happiness in this life and the next, and the false promise, the promise of death, death of the heart, death of morality. Which of the two promises are we going to believe and embrace? May Allah make us of those who embrace the true promise among the believing men and the believing women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire all of us from within the ummah to embrace these timeless teachings and to remember that we are ordered to advise each other, not out of personal grudges or resentments, but out of nasiha, as the prophets of old would say, وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ. I am to you, my people, a sincere advisor. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.